Hello, friends. This is Tyler S.J. It's time to get into the music.
Today's show is brought to you in part by WCZR Code Zero Radio, your go-to for the best alternative and indie music. Find them at live.codezeroradio.com or download the free Code Zero Radio app. And now, let's get into the music.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Rob, and thanks for tuning in to Into the Music. Whether you're a regular listener or hearing Into the Music for the first time, please consider subscribing to the show. This helps to keep the podcast going, and you'll be sure not to miss an episode. Subscribers will get a shout-out, an appearance on the show, and get early access to each episode. Just go to intothemusic.com for more information. That's in the number two, themusic.com. Well, regular listeners to Into the Music have often heard me say that Northeast Wisconsin is a hotbed for singer-songwriters. The music that these artists is turning out is incredible, and I think it's a cut above a good share of what bigger names are turning out. Tyler Sjostrom, otherwise known as Tyler S.J., is another fantastic singer-songwriter who's earned the respect of his peers in the area, like Kurt Gunn, Michael Grabner, and others. He's set to release his debut album called Long Bit of Weather, which showcases his unique sound and strong songwriting. And with that, I welcome Tyler to the show. How are you doing today, Tyler?
I'm doing great, Rob. How are you doing?
Doing great myself. Thank you. Well, one thing I want to start with a little bit of Tyler history. You are originally from Bismarck, North Dakota.
It's true.
You're a transplant here to Wisconsin. Did you come to Wisconsin because you found the cold weather was better here? Or?
That's not why it is better. It's always 20 degrees warmer than North Dakota, I suppose. But no, you know, like anyone else, I followed a girl here and then we broke up, but I stayed. Okay. But I've been up in Northeast Wisconsin for about 13 or 14 years.
Okay. Yeah. And now you're firmly ensconced into the local music scene and
I'll never leave.
Yeah. Well, I've been waiting eagerly to do this interview and actually about 3.5 months since you and I first contacted each other in December. And you came to me with a track called How's the Weather Where You Are for my holiday extravaganza episode. And then you followed that right up with Resolutions, which was featured on the following week's episode with my 2023 year-end rap show.
Yeah.
Now, we've been staying in touch about the progress of your new album, Long Bit of Weather, and I'm happy to say it's going to finally drop on Friday.
Oh my gosh, can you believe it?
Now, how are you feeling having all these songs finally seeing the light of day?
I mean, it feels incredible. You know, it also feels like, you know, I don't know that Friday is going to be all that different from Thursday. I think I've been waiting for this for so long that I'm just trying to enjoy it. So I'm kind of trying to slow it down a little bit and really take it all in. But in the run up to this, you know, the feedback has been really positive and you know, getting to do stuff like this is a lot of fun, you know?
Sure.
So I'm just kind of trying to enjoy it all for what it's worth. Try not to put too much pressure on myself or look at the streaming numbers or anything like that.
Right. Well, you sent me the album, and it is so well done. Now, you recorded it at Rock Garden Studio with Mark Goldie producing, mm-hmm. So that right there says this is going to be a quality recording. Now, who else was all involved in the project?
Well, there was kind of a bit of a process. So it started with Mark and me, and then we added Rick Armstrong to do drums, and then finally at the end we added Molly Levine to do violin, and that kind of tied the whole thing together, I think. So those are the core instruments, me on acoustic, Mark doing some bass and lead and some electric piano too, and then Rick on percussion and Molly on violin.
Yeah, it sounds so good. And that little core group there, or that core duo, I guess, of Mark and Rick, I tell you, you know, the two of them in the number of things that they're on, you know, you can't go wrong with those two, it seems like.
No, and it was funny too, because this is my first time in a studio of any kind. So they knew exactly what they were doing. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. And so they were gracious, you know, it was definitely a learning curve. And I could tell that initially, I think Mark, with, you know, his years and years of experience, was kind of like, you know, what the hell am I in for with this guy? But I think by the end, I was getting pretty comfortable and confident with the clicks and stuff. And it was a great experience. I can't wait to do it again. I mean, I don't want to do it again for a few years, maybe, but it was a great time.
Great. Now, I said in the intro that you're among the singer-songwriters in Northeast Wisconsin, but your material really has more of a country slant to it than, say, Kurtz or Brad Bordini's or Jackson's. I'm hearing shades of Randy Travis, maybe some Lyle Lovett in your songs. Is that fair to say?
I think so. I think Lyle Lovett I get frequently. The fun thing about this whole process is that, you know, not a lot of people outside of my circle of friends and stuff had heard me until recently. And so, like, you know, there have been studies that say, like, you don't sound the way to other people that you sound to yourself. And I don't hear country as much with myself as other people tend to. You know, like, I definitely like country music. I definitely was ambitiously incorporating violin and stuff like that into the songs. But like the country songwriting is kind of my background a little bit, but I get a kick out of being called a country artist. I don't fight it, you know, but I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like I like the Lyle Lovett comparison because he's kind of nakedly honest, but kind of makes fun of himself. And those are kind of what I enjoy also.
Now I think about, say, for example, Michael Grabner.
Sure.
I don't really consider him country within this singer-songwriter circle. And I think the two of you are kind of in the same orbit there.
Yeah. And I think the way that this album came together, you know, kind of lends itself to, I think some of the songs, the confessional quality of them is kind of a country folk, like kind of trait, I suppose.
Right.
And so like, I'm happy to be grouped in with the people I'm grouped in with. You know, but it's all been very interesting to me. I don't know where I fit.
Yeah. Well, you know, in regards to all this, who would you say are your influences?
I would say like Tracy Chapman was one I always really liked. Ryan Adams. Guster was a band whose songwriting I always really enjoyed. James Taylor. It's hard to say because I don't know, like, it's hard to think of like direct influences. You know, like I talk to a lot of like, you know, songwriters where like it's, you know, John Prine or something like that, where to be honest, up until like probably 3 years ago, I couldn't tell you two John Prine songs. And so it's funny that there is like a lineage of these musicians and stuff, but who you might kind of sound like, but I don't necessarily know them all mm-hmm. that well. Right. You know, I kind of grew up with, my brothers were metalheads, and on those metalhead albums, like I would always search out the ballads. My brothers would make fun of me for years. Like, I would, look at Tyler, you know, Hold Away with Def Leppard, listening to Two Steps Behind and Hysteria, you know, like those are the songs that I liked. And so I definitely, you can hear that, I think, in my music, is I definitely tend towards big choruses and melody. And I think that kind of comes partially with the way that these songs are written too. Most of these songs were written when I wasn't playing for people, you know, right. I was out of music entirely. And so like, it didn't really have like a, you know, I need to write an upbeat song or I need to write this or that, you know, they just kind of came together the way they came together. So that's kind of fun in its own way too.
Sure. Well, I'm eager to share some of the cuts from Long Bit of Weather, starting with the first single that you dropped a few weeks ago, which is called Take Me Dancing. What can you tell us about the song?
Well, that was the last song that I wrote for this. The album was going to be 6 songs. And I wrote that just a couple months ago in January. And I had like the idea for like a waltz, like a pretty simple one. And like thematically, my idea was kind of, I love the song Heads Carolina, Tails California, the 90s country song. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of that theme, but for, you know, I've got a wife and kids, I can't blow town and never come back. And so like, this is kind of that idea, I guess, on the template of like Heads Carolina.
Well, here's Tyler SJ with the first single from Long Bit of Weather, Take Me Dancing.
Though no one was asking, said, guess what I'm thinking, and answered for he could respond. Said no clothes seemed to fit, and I'd hate if they did, and all our best friends had moved on. Bird knows its cage, just gets more cramped with age. It's a good thing we're humans, he said. You know what I mean, some days I could just scream. You know what I'm thinking instead. She said, just take me dancing where nobody knows us and nobody cares who we are. So sick of this city, and the clock just keeps spinning, and the thermos is full in the car. I don't care where we land, jukebox or band, find us that last neon light. All that I'm asking is just take me dancing tonight. Bud Light for my lady, and he shuddered when he said it that way. And despite years of practice, the rhythm he lacked was worth the price of admission, she'd say. One flip of her hair, same way that she used to, back when these old songs were new. I'll be hurting tomorrow, but it's so far away, one more before our curfew. Just take me dancing where nobody knows us and nobody cares who we are. I'm so sick of this city, and the clock just keeps spinning, and the thermos is full in the car. I don't care where we land, jukebox or band, find us that last neon light. All that I'm asking is just take me dancing tonight. Back toward the city, radio murmurs and purrs. Here's one by request, just don't stop believing. He reaches for the dial to merge. Back before bills and dishes, they stacked all their wishes. Us against the world, ain't that right? Takes her hand as she's sleeping, the top of his lungs, searching somewhere in the night. Won't you just take me dancing where nobody knows us and nobody cares who we are. I'm so sick of this city, and the clock just keeps spinning, and the thermos is full in the car. I don't care where we land, jukebox or bear, find us that last neon light. All that I'm asking is just take me dancing tonight.
Well, when we first connected back in December, you had your Christmas song, How's the Weather Where You Are, ready to go, and Resolutions was just in the finishing stages. So were those two songs originally intended for the album, or were those set to be standalone singles?
Those were standalone songs. I have like a kind of a backlog of Christmas songs. I've always enjoyed Christmas music for whatever reason. And so Resolutions I had actually written the year before. In 2022. And then How's the Weather is I just wrote like in October, November of last year. But yeah, I just wanted them to be standalone songs. I knew that I had this album coming and I wanted to kind of get in front of people a little bit beforehand without actually putting out any of the songs that we were working on. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the motivation there.
Okay. And what are the chances of us hearing a new Tyler S.J. Christmas song in this year's holiday extravaganza?
We'll be right back after this short break.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at rootsmusicrambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
They're over 100%, Rob.
Okay, great, great.
Absolutely 100%.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it. All right. Well, I was checking out your website, and you say you write about the things you know, like family, growing up, figuring stuff out, and sobriety. Now, for the most part, you're writing songs that a lot of folks are going to be able to relate with. Now, is that your intention when you write, or is it more just stuff that's on your heart that makes its way out in musical form?
I think it kind of depends. I think at this point I have about 50 or so songs, and I just don't think the process has been exactly the same for any of them. You know, I think the ones that I came out with when I wasn't playing music for anyone are always going to be a little bit special, because I don't think there was a lot of intentionality behind them. You know, the 4 of the 7 songs on this album, like I mentioned, were written before I'd gotten back into music. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think were more personal. You know, I don't know if they were kind of written for me in a way. And I think, you know, in terms of like themes and stuff, I'm trying to get a little bit away from being so inside my own head. But I think my goal is just to make them accessible one way or another. I think I remember reading something Paul McCartney had said that like he might write from the perspective of a rock in the backyard or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. And so kind of getting myself in the, I like story songs. I like putting myself in the mind of a narrator or of someone who's not necessarily me, but has, you know, I'm pretty basic. You know, I've got a wife and kids, and those are easy things to write about for me. And I think they're the songs that I relate to from other people also, you know, are the ones that have, you know, maybe not a universal theme that they come out and say, but in the subtext, I can hear what they're getting at. And that's kind of what I'm going for too, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I saw the line on your website, very average guy writing about very average things, slightly better than average at doing it. Now, it really made me think of Joe Walsh's Ordinary Average Guy. Now,
oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, why do you think average life experience makes for some great songs?
I think, you know, I started writing songs in my 20s, and I was trying to do something. Like I definitely had like, okay, this is going to be the song that's about this, you know, this big idea. And I don't know if it works that way. I've come to realize a little bit that like songwriting and performance are almost totally separate from each other. And when I think about the songs I've written, the ones I'm most proud of, I think are the ones that I wasn't trying to make some big point. What are the ones where like I was trying to not necessarily be as clever as I could be, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe the most simple ones. Right. And I think that's kind of what, you know, I've kind of unlocked in this last, you know, couple of years, is that I can write simply, but still kind of get to the point of what I'm trying to get to.
Sure. Well, let's take a listen to another track from the album, and this one being Better Now. Now, you told me in our text exchanges that this is a special one to you. Why is that?
Well, this one, Better Now, is the oldest song on the album, and it was kind of the first one that I wrote that surprised me. And to give a little context, you know, I went to alcohol treatment in like November of 21, and I didn't start writing music again until like that next fall. Mostly with Christmas music, actually. But then when I wrote Better Now, like a lot of the thoughts in that, I don't think it really surfaced for me yet. And that was when I kind of realized that writing could be special to me in a way that I hadn't thought about. You know, like that I was expressing something maybe and like putting something out in my, like even to myself, that I wasn't really aware of. Mm-hmm. And so Better Now, I don't know. Like I think I remember when I wrote it and I recorded it and I just looked at it. I was like, that is very, very heavy. And it is very heavy. But at the same time, I felt like that was, I don't know if therapeutic is the right word, but that there was like a certain triumph to that song. Mm-hmm. And even when I hear it now, it'll still get me. It took me months to get through that song without like getting a bit of a chin quiver.
Sure.
I wrote that in like January-ish, and I don't think I played a show for 5 or 6 months. So at that time, it was just really, I was really dealing with some stuff. And so that song to me always became something that was a really just specific way of saying, you know, I'm not really doing okay, but like I'm getting there, you know? And I think I've found that one relates to a lot of people. And so yeah, we'll always be special to me for that reason.
I really don't know how to measure if I got it figured out. And who even answers that question? As if I'm not getting better, am I getting worse? Use a clean bill of health from the universe. Am I ever, will I never be better now? Oh, you wanna know, isn't there a single other thing we can talk about? And that's a story, though. And even I'm tired of my story now. Old friends, I guess, are too busy to call. New friends, they don't even know me at all. Am I ever, will I never be better now? Am I better now? I understand the plan. Have I got it figured out? How? And will I know it if I am? Is the train on tracks? Is the past the mile old ghost left town? Am I getting to the part where I let my guard down? I keep wondering, cause I just don't know how to know if I'm better now. Know if I'm better now. And everything I read, man, it sure seemed like he was past that shit belt in my head. Anytime I feel a certain pull toward a certain pit, how am I supposed to keep my eyes looking ahead when all my role models on the bottle again? Tell me ever, will I never be better now? Numbers and the stats, I guess that they aren't my friend. And so I find myself so many times just talking to myself again, asking if I'm better now. How did I understand the plan? Have I got it figured out? And will I know it if I am? Is the train on tracks? Is the past the past? My old ghost left town. Am I getting to the part where I let my guard down? I keep wondering, cause I just don't know how to know if I'm better now. I'm better than I thought I'd ever be. And if I'm better now, I'm better than the pressure that I put on me. Asking if I'm better now. Did I understand the plan? Have I got it figured out? And will I know it if I am? Is the train on tracks? Is the past that my old ghost left town? Am I getting to the part where I let my guard down? Am I getting to the part where I let my guard down? Yeah. Am I getting to the part where I let my guard down? I wonder, am I better now? Am I better now?
Saturday mornings keep getting better and better with WCZR Code Zero Radio's Fox City's Core Show. Unleash your inner music nerd as we dive into an hour of engaging live interviews with some of the best musicians in the Fox Cities. From origin stories to what's on the back burner, you never know where the conversation will go. That's not all. You can be a part of the show by dialing in or joining our YouTube chat. It's Fox City's Core every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. More local, more often. Code Zero Radio.
Well, now, Tyler, one topic I want to touch on is how important sobriety is for you. Now, you did have a problem with alcohol abuse a while back, and this year you'll actually be celebrating 3 years of sobriety, which I really want to commend you for.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you find that music played a part in your recovery?
The short answer is yeah. And I think the longer answer is that I was surprised by the way that it did. I'd been away from music for almost 5 years when I first started playing again. And like, it was more that like, you know, when you quit drinking, if you've had a drinking problem, you have a lot of time on your hands because like you spent so much time sneaking around or being hungover or trying to, you know, whatever. And so like, you got to fill that time with something.
Right.
And I don't play video games. I'm not in CrossFit. You know, like I had to figure out something. And I kind of reluctantly started playing music again, but I didn't have anything. I didn't have any gear anymore. I didn't have any calluses. I didn't have any connections really, you know? And so like, but gradually, you know, like a couple things happened. One was that I recorded those Christmas songs in 22. Ian from Milo Music heard those and invited me to play Milo Music. So now I've got a goal, you know? And Milo Music to me had always been kind of the great white whale because I'd played the first one and then it kind of just got away from me, you know? And then, so I had that. And then the other big thing, and this is the major thing, is that I reached out to Michael Grabner.
Right.
You know, he and I had become extremely close, but I didn't reach out to him because I thought he would be like able to help me with music or anything like that. I reached out to him because I knew he was sober. And so it just seemed like, you know, this guy might be able to talk to me. I had no idea he would be as gracious and as awesome as he is. And so those two things, I think, were kind of what got me back in.
Sure.
And it's tricky when I don't bartend anymore. Not out in the community as much, you know, so it's hard to get into places again. And so Michael made it so I was able to, you know, sit in with him at shows and stuff. It was really helpful. Nice. And so just kind of little by little, I started getting those connections again. And then, so that's one way was like that it kind of got me back in. Just in the act of performing, you know, because it's hard to do. And it's hard to do when, you know, if you've only done it drinking for 20 years, it's hard to shake that. And so like getting the mindset of like, okay, can I do this sober? I had no idea, you know? And so like, that was a big hurdle. And having Michael around both as a sounding board and as kind of a conduit into some of these venues and stuff was super, super helpful. And then in terms of writing, like, I think in that first year after I started writing, I probably wrote like 20 songs. Not all of them are good, but that's a hell of a lot of songs. But then I think after I kind of slowed down and started working on the songs a little bit more, I started finding a little bit of a groove that I'm still kind of in right now where I can focus what I'm writing on a little bit better. And especially in the songs I'm writing about tough stuff, you know, because it's not always easy to write that stuff and just come out and say like, you know, I'm struggling, whatever. You have to kind of get there. And like, so from like a therapeutic standpoint, I mean, I think all my songs before I quit drinking, whatever, had been, they looked good. They said they were, it was good wordplay and stuff, but I don't know if I was really saying much. And I think I've kind of come around to where I can do both. And I think that's been a real confidence builder. So that's how I would say, you know, like music has been incredible for me, just as like, it feels like I'm taking something back that I'd lost. And that to me is really powerful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, some of the other artists that we've had on Into the Music here that also are in recovery, like Elliot Janz and Michael Big Dog Murphy.
Oh, sure.
You got any connection with these guys? You know,
I'm big fans from afar. I've actually never met either of them. But, I mean, there's no shortage of sober musicians out there to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, and from being from North Dakota and having played in Milwaukee before, up here, you know, like I've got a great network of people who understand that particular challenge is an interesting one. You know, I'm so grateful to have, you know, people like Michael and Ricky Guineer in Milwaukee and some others that are just so cool and so great to have around.
Yeah. Well, on top of writing songs, you also write some great blogs and articles. Now, I've gone through some of them, and they're really enjoyable. And, you know, they give folks a pretty good glimpse of who you are. Aside from the blogs, are you an active contributor to any publications or websites?
I write the back page article for Appleton Monthly, which is like a, I don't know, 5,000 circulation magazine up here. And okay. I've written for every issue, I think, except the first one. Mm-hmm. And so I've written for it for like 8 or 9 years. And it's funny that you say that, because like that you say it gives a glimpse into who I am, because our readership isn't that big, but the people who read it every month really feel like they know me. Mm-hmm. And so like I'll be at like festival on Sunday and get cornered by usually, you know, a 70s woman who's like asking me about how my kids are doing. And I have no clue who this person is, you know, but they know me very well. And I love it. And honestly, like, I don't get paid very much to do it, but I'll never quit it. I always loved like small town columnists growing up.
Sure.
You know, and it's kind of that just man on the street thing, you know?
Right.
And yeah, I enjoy writing it.
Well, in one of the things that I could see too in reading these is that there's a real, I mean, yes, they're coming from the same person, but the heart that you have in your columns, you feel that same heart in your song lyrics. And I think that's such a cool thing.
That's great to hear. I mean, you know, I kind of come at my songs a little bit writerly, you know. I think that's probably my strength as a musician. Not to say that I'm not a good singer or guitar player, but I think that I feel most strong in my writing usually. Right. And so, yeah, so I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. Well, I want to bring this back around again to Long Bit of Weather and the final cut on the album, which I really enjoy. Now, the song is called Hope, and it features Michael Grabner on backing vocals. And one of the things that I really liked about it is how your voices mesh. But tell us a little bit more about the song and how you got Michael enlisted for it.
Well, so that one, strangely enough, was going to be a Christmas song, because the first part of the song is really kind of quiet. And especially on Christmas, my cynicism dies at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And so like, it's just my general feeling towards humanity is I hope that everyone has some hope in their life. Mm-hmm. So like, I'd written it as a Christmas song first, and Michael talked me out of that. He's like, no, the song, it deserves 12 months a year, you know? And when we were finishing up the album, and it was really important to me to have Michael involved in some way, you know, I feel like there's no way this album is coming out. There's no way that I'm recording an album or talking to you, I don't think, without Michael. Mm-hmm. I really mean that. And so it was really important to me to have he did some backing stuff, but I wanted to make sure he's got that beautiful feathery tenor. You know, I wanted to make sure we had that. And Mark figured out that background part on Hope. And that was the last thing we recorded on the last night. And I mean, it just felt perfect. It felt like, you know, Michael will be my friend for life. And I'm glad to know that, you know, the last song on our first album that he's in there right at the end.
Excellent. Well, folks, here's Tyler S.J. from his Long Bit of Weather album and Hope.
Now her body was the enemy. With each discomfort set, daylight had passed. Pile of pamphlets and in vitro bells say their hope dies last. Don't have answers or an outlook to sell, and I sure tell you if I knew how to cope, what I'd wish for over anything else, friend, I'd wish you hope. Yeah, I'd wish you hope. He'd answer each request that passed his desk.
Pastor, pray for me, I can't see the shore. And Tom the birder made a home in his chair. Couldn't hold anymore. I didn't know him, only heard of his work. And I myself know it's a slippery slope. But he gave his away to everyone else. So I'd wish him hope. Brother, I'd wish you.
Well, now the album drops on Friday, April 19th, and to celebrate, you're playing an album release gig tomorrow night, April 18th, at Gibson Community Music Hall.
Oh my God, is it tomorrow already?
It is tomorrow already, believe it. Well, opening for you are the aforementioned Michael Grabner, as well as Amelia Ford. And man, that's a heck of a lineup. Tell us more about the gig.
Yeah, I really wanted to make sure we had a fun kind of kickoff to the album, and I wanted to do it at Gibson if possible. And Michael was in right away, and Amelia had to work with her schedule a little bit, but we got it all lined up. And then I've got a band. We're going to play the full album with a band that includes Molly Levine, who played violin on the record, and then Rick Armstrong, of course, who played drums. Mm-hmm. And then we also had Chad Minster from Vic Ferrari playing bass, and Dylan O'Connor from Driftwood playing lead guitar.
Excellent.
I mean, it's going to be a really fun night.
Wow. That is so cool. I am so looking forward to that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. And it's been great getting to know you over the past few months.
Yeah, can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. Before we go, tell listeners where they can find you online, buy and stream your music, and get your gigging schedule.
Sure. I'm on www.tyler-sj.com. It's my personal website. You can find me on all the streamers and Bandcamp under Tyler SJ. There's another Tyler Sjostrom. I'm sure he's wonderful, but that's not me.
Excellent. Well, Tyler, thanks again. And I'm looking forward to that release gig, and I'm looking forward to seeing that album out. And I wish you a ton of success with all of it.
Thank you, Rob.
You deserve it, man.
I appreciate you, buddy.
It's been great. Let's do this again down the road.
I would love to do that. Talk to you soon. Have a nice night.
You too. Well, my guest today has been singer-songwriter Tyler Sjostrom, a.k.a. Tyler SJ. Look for his new album, Long Bit of Weather, to drop on Friday, and I encourage you to go to Bandcamp.com and buy it there. That way, Tyler gets a good share of that money there. Join me next time when band leader and radio show host Ike Carumba is my guest. We're going to talk about all sorts of things, like Ike Carumba and the Infidels, his radio show, and maybe chimps. Yeah, I did say that. I said chimps. Thanks for listening, and please share Into the Music with your friends and on your socials. We really appreciate it when you give the show that signal boost. And don't forget that you can always hear every episode and support the show on our website at intothemusic.com. That's intothemusic.com. So long for now, and we'll see you next time we get into the music.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Into the Music. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Odyssey.com. Drop us a line on our socials or email us at intothemusic@newprojectx.com. To support Into the Music, go to buymeacoffee.com/intothemusic. Your support keeps the show going and is always greatly appreciated. This show is copyright 2024 Project X Productions. Join us next time we get into the music. God bless and take care, everybody.